from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump Day, 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. 12:20 on Wednesdays means Grant McCauley joins the show to talk Braves. He's our Braves insider, host of From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And I was just thinking, you know, hearing that coming back from break, there have been a lot of challenging things that have gone on in the Braves season. But I think that this new theme song that we debuted back in April is not one of the challenges. I think it's a hit.
No, it makes me happy every Wednesday. Even some Wednesdays where it's like, all right, the Braves have lost 8 in a row. Is this rock bottom? We don't have to ask about rock bottom this week, which is fantastic.
No.
That was last week's topic.
Yeah, and it's been a topic far too often, unfortunately, especially in the second half, where, and I know I've talked about this a lot with you guys. I've posted about it on social media. I mean, just when you think maybe you've seen the worst loss of the year, along comes another one that makes you have to shuffle the deck again and draw another card. And for the Braves, you know, it just continues to be this whole line of this team is more talented. Yeah, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but there's been a ton of inconsistency. Can they put it all together here down the stretch? I think that becomes the question. There's nothing that they can do about the last, 115 or so games, but what can they do in the next 45 or 50 games that really will tell the tale of their entire season?
Grant, I mean, Michael obviously is a big boost coming back to play center field for your team. We know Soleri, I mean, his offensively since he's been here has been outstanding. How do they balance out the other guy, though? Because, I mean, Kelnick, you would have thought it would be him. He's been struggling. Who would probably be the odd man out? Duvall. So what do you think they do as far as in that position opposite of where Soler plays in the corner?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision for them to make. I think that we kind of know what the obvious options are. I mean, Jared Kelnick's not going anywhere, but you know, platoon for him I think would be helpful at this point. It's been a struggle in the second half for him, and really since the start of July. So, I mean, it's been going on for a while. It's not a small sample size. You know, he's an intense guy. He continues to work. Every once in a while you see those flashes of things, but that's kind of been the story for Kelnick. I think he's made some progress this year, but I don't think he's there yet. And obviously, based on the numbers, it seems like he would probably benefit from, you know, being deployed in a more platoon-based fashion. So when you get past that, I think then you have to start looking at, all right, well, what have these other guys done? And the big question has been Adam Duvall. Adam Duvall has not been able to perform to the level that the Braves went out and hoped that he would, and he got pressed into duty the exact way that they had kind of had in mind. If we lose a starting outfielder, no matter who it is, do we have somebody that can step in? That insurance policy. Duvall is supposed to be that. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to perform up to that level. So at this point of the year, it may just be a difficult decision where if you're not getting the production, you've kind of reached that point where you've got to go with the best available. And I know Ramon Laureano has had some adventures in the outfield, but offensively speaking, he's giving it a little bit more. And I think that could factor into this decision right now.
So it sort of feels, I mean, when Harris is activated and plays today, feels like Duvall is probably the odd man out. Is that what you're saying?
It could be, or they could option Eli White back to AAA. I mean, they do have that literal option there. So I'm just kind of throwing it out there from the scenario. Yeah, I mean, that was, and I said this too. I mean, the only other Braves center fielder that could have made that play doesn't come off the IL for another day. So it was an incredible catch. It was a timely catch as well, thinking of the situation that the Braves were in there in the ninth inning. The last thing you want is another double or a triple that starts things out and makes this a much tougher ride and maybe a much different discussion that we're having today were it not for that catch by Eli White.
Hey, Grant, I heard you yesterday on with Dukes and Bell and talking about Charlie. You was basically saying, well, he had a bad one last time, so he had a good one this year. This obviously yesterday. Is this something maybe that we're just going to have to prepare ourselves for when Charlie goes up? Congratulations, 2,000 strikeout. That's a big damn deal. But, I mean, is that just one of the things where, you know, it's just Charlie. You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, I think that you do. And with most players, I mean, you have to. There are going to be a handful of starts for every starting pitcher, typically every year. I mean, unless somebody's having their, you know, career-defining season maybe, where you're just going to have some clunkers. You're going to give up some runs. You're going to give up some homers. You're not going to be able to command pitches. But with Charlie, unfortunately, it's felt like that Jekyll and Hyde thing has been a lot more prevalent since the start of July, especially. His first half, I felt like, was pretty good. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of bad ones mixed in there. But lately, it has been a good one, a bad one, a really good one, a really bad one. And that's just kind of where it is. But, you know, he's shown last night that he's capable of going out there against a team that's been playing some really good baseball, handcuffing him, shutting him down, being able to minimize damage, not compounding things with the walks. That's a huge thing for him every time. If he's commanding his pitches in a way that he's not giving out 2, 3, 4 free passes in a game or a couple in an inning, and then all of a sudden you hang a breaking ball and next thing you know, it's 2-0, 3-0, and you're trying to figure out what happened, and it can spiral on him. But, yeah, I think that this is just kind of where Charlie Morton is. You can expect some good ones. You have to prepare for a few bad ones. But overall, when you size up this rotation versus other rotations across baseball, if Charlie Morton's your fourth or fifth starter, I think you're dealing with some of the most first world of first world problems.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Braves. Another one against the Giants tonight. Harris will be back. Michael Harris will be back tonight, which is awesome. Looking forward to seeing him back out there. Who's the next guy to come back?
Yeah, I think Ronaldo Lopez is next on that list. He had a rehab start with Gwinnett yesterday, crossed a 70-pitch plateau, 4 innings, gave up a handful of runs, but also picked up a few strikeouts. The radar gun readings were good on him, so it sounds like he did the things he needed to do to just prove to the Braves and himself that he's feeling healthy. And look, they need this guy to be healthy down the stretch. And we heard Brian Snitker talk about this after that debilitating loss on Sunday to the Rockies, in which you felt like you had that game in hand, and all of a sudden, as I said many times, it just slipped right through their fingers. And when you started looking at some of the strategy that the Braves have employed, particularly in the second half as well, of, well, we need to get extra rest for this guy and extra rest for this guy, and all of a sudden you got into a weird place where, why is Bryce Elder starting more games than Chris Sale after the All-Star break? That's kind of an odd thing. And you just got to ride with the guys that you feel like can deliver for you way more times than not. You know, off days, that's one thing. Mixing in somebody every once in a while that helps out, that I think there's a case to be made, obviously, for that. But this whole trying to have 6, if not 7 different guys in rotation every time through, and I know some of it was a necessity when Max Fried went on the IL and Ronaldo followed, but still, going forward and projecting and hoping for health, I just don't think the Braves are in a position where they can really afford to do that anymore. You rested these guys to get them to this point with hopefully a little bit of extra gas in the tank. So I think you got to roll with those guys. And Brian Snitker pretty much laid that out in, you know, almost word for word in that postgame availability after that loss to the Rockies. You need your big horses to step up. Ronaldo's one of those horses.
What about this whole catcher situation? I mean, Travis d'Arnaud last two games clutch, both winning game winning type situations. Grant, do you see down the stretch, because Sean Murphy is still struggling at the plate, more opportunities him instead of that usual rotation that they have?
No, not really. I think that it's going to be a pretty normal split. I mean, right now, if you look at it, especially over the last month or so, and since the All-Star break anyway, it's been more of a 50-50 split. So, I mean, to your point, maybe, if we're looking at it in the recency of what it has been. And I think that one of the reasons why, and it's pretty obvious, is this is a lineup that is starved for offense. If Travis d'Arnaud's swinging the bat well, you have to find ways to get him in the lineup more. Now, that being said, I think that Sean Murphy, the quality of his plate appearances has improved as the season has gone on. The full season numbers aren't there, but it does feel like he has figured a couple couple of things out. You know, since having to sit on the injured list for 2 months, that didn't help matters for him. This has really been a weird season, not a lost season for him, but one that's been full of challenges and setbacks, which might be the theme of the 2024 Atlanta Braves on the whole. Right. But, yeah, I think with Travis, I don't think of him as the traditional backup catcher that most clubs have, that it's, oh, well, he just catches this pitcher, and maybe he catches twice a week, and the other guy, you know, does all the rest of it. Is Sean Murphy capable of being that workhorse behind the plate? Yes. Does he want to be? I believe that he does, but he also understands the situation that you have with somebody with a lot more value than just your normal backup catcher in Travis d'Arnaud and what he means to the team and what he's capable of doing. So this is kind of a non-traditional timeshare. When it's going right, I expect there to be about 60 to 65% of it going to Sean Murphy as far as starts, and Travis d'Arnaud catching the other third of a time, maybe up to 40% of the time. And if he's hot, maybe more than that. I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Hey, Grant, if the season ended today, would Chris Sale win the Cy Young?
He should.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, the only other person I can think of that's got that resume that it can challenge him is Zach Wheeler, but I do think that Chris Sale, from pretty much any way you slice it statistically, to me is a cut above, and honestly should have a couple of more wins than he does if that's the thing that you're really looking at and hanging your hat on, which
like
is 2024. Yeah. Pitcher wins, probably not it, but yeah, that's a great point. The 1-0 loss to the White Sox where he spun an absolute gem and got no offensive support.
Yeah.
Chris Sale could easily, in my mind, could be sitting on 16 or 17 wins right now. He has pitched that well.
No, it's true. It's funny, too, when you go back, not funny, but ironic, I guess, whatever you want to call it. A lot of the worst games, like the one you mentioned, the White Sox game, there was a Mets game earlier in the year, that the Braves have had, Chris Sale happened to have been on the mound. he's as good as he's been and as good as his record is, he's also gotten quite a bit of bad luck, which speaks how good he's been.
And not only that, I mean, you can also look at Chris Sale as having been, especially in the first half, I feel like there was a lot of, well, the Braves have lost two in a row. They need to stop this slide.
Yep.
Chris Sale
yep.
was the guy on the mound that next day. And that, I think, also speaks to, you know, how his resume is constructed. Is he's been an ace-level starter. He's been a stopper for them. He's just gone out there and delivered the kind of performance that when you think about Chris Sale, just like in general, like what is your overall impression of this guy? He's come out and delivered that time and time again for the Braves this year, and I think that's something they have to be extremely excited about in a season where a lot of their other plans didn't exactly, you know, come to fruition or didn't exactly go off the way that they would have liked them to. The acquisition of Chris Sale was a major, major positive for this club, and I think on the offensive side where we said where would the Braves be without Marcell Ozuna, where'd the Braves pitching staff be without Chris Sale?
Yes. Yeah. It's a great question, one that luckily we don't have to answer. Grant, thank you.
Appreciate you, Mac.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.